Welcome to a special episode of the NBA podcast. My name is Morten Jensen. Alongside me, Sarah Chilea. And Sarah, we literally just got done shooting a podcast, and now we have to do another one because Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague and George Hill all got traded in the 1 hour it took us to record the other one. I'm flabbergasted here. What's your initial reaction?
The same. Like I said on Twitter, we just emerged from the ice. Like, how long were we recording? A lot happened in an hour. My God. But I'm more concerned about how you are. Derrick Rose is no longer a Bull.
I have no idea. Like, you saw my reaction. Like, yeah. We're on webcam with each other, and you saw, like, my mouth was wide open, my eyes were just popping. I'm very surprised at this development. So Derrick Rose, to me, represented a new era of the Chicago Bulls. He was my favorite player for a long time. The injuries hit, and I mean, I will always have an affinity for Rose, but I understand that it's time to move on. The deal, as I understand it, is Rose, Justin Holiday, and a 2017 second rounder to the Knicks for Robin Lopez, Jerian Grant, and Jose Calderon. And I think New York kind of maybe won that trade a little bit, because first of all, Justin Holiday showed that he could play. He was actually decent for the Bulls to wrap up the season. I hate giving up anything with the name with the tagline 2017, because that's going to be a very deep draft. I think you could actually find value in the second round there, so that's not something I like, to be honest with you. Having said that, the Bulls do get Robin Lopez in on a very reasonable contract. They get Jerian Grant, who they were after last year, and Jose Calderon, yeah, he can just go away for all I care. But wow, the Derrick Rose era in Chicago is over. That's weird.
It really is. I don't even know what to say right now.
No. This podcast is being prompted on by Brian Toporek, our missing host, usual host. He's on Twitter right now, and just I believe his words were, "Get Morten on this quick." I want to hear Morten's reaction on this. And well, my reaction is silence, utter silence, more or less. This was not what I was just expecting to read right now. And I'm not really sure I get it for the Knicks. It's a one-year rental, okay. But Lopez is still very cost-effective. Like, see, I'm already flip-flopping a little bit here because I haven't even had time to process everything. Like, of course there's the all-star potential of Rose. Like, he did play a lot better after the All-Star break. But what really throws me is I've heard a couple of things suggesting that he had higher value. So that's why I'm a bit weirded out by this return. I actually heard that there was a team in the lottery that was interested in acquiring him for the lottery pick. And this definitely proves that that's not the case. So, yeah. But wow, that's definitely that's a huge trade, name-wise. Like, Derrick Rose tweeted, that's already trending on Twitter. I get that because it's Derrick Rose, former MVP. But wow, I kind of hate the way that he left the Bulls. I understand that he might have left them in 2017 as a free agent, but had that not been for the injuries, like, he's one of my main what-if players alongside Penny Hardaway, Grant Hill, those guys, Brandon Roy, Yao Ming to a certain extent. Like, what could he have been, Sarah, if he had not gotten injured?
Absolutely. And to that city, you know? Like, he never would have left. I still feel like he never should have. Like, it's hard for me. Of course, as you know, I'm a Spurs fan, so I've said before, I think I'm, like, hardwired to hang on until potentially the bitter end. That's just how I'm built. But it's going to be really hard to see him playing for another team.
Yeah. And we had more. Jeff Teague was traded to the Pacers, and George Hill was to the Jazz. I really haven't, like, we, let's just, to the listeners out there, we need to clarify a little bit. We started podcasting almost immediately after the news hit, just to get it out there. And I don't even have a sense of what Teague was traded for. To see the Jazz are sending the 12th pick in the draft to Atlanta, and then George Hill is going to Utah. So that's a three-team deal right there. Wow, it's really like the night before Christmas.
Everything's gone haywire. I mean, it's amazing how, like we just said, the NBA is completely different now already than it was an hour ago. It's insane how fast it happens sometimes. And you go for like years without anything happening, and then all of a sudden the floodgates have opened. I feel kind of bad for Georgie. I mean, I think that's a good situation for him, don't get me wrong. Just, you know, that Indiana is home for him as well. And he just had a kid. I'm sure he was not looking to move. But that's kind of exciting. The Jazz are a good team as well. And we talked about them possibly kicking the tires on Mike Conley. Not that we necessarily thought he was going to go there, but yeah, they definitely, I mean, they have Exum, but they probably were looking for some point guard help. So now we see that they were. That's going to be a good team next year. I'm excited to watch them.
I mean, giving up the 12th pick in what is, for the most part, viewed as a so-so draft, and getting George Hill in return, who is really stable, can shoot, is a good floor leader, I think the Jazz really needed that. So I could definitely see them make the postseason next year. It's a strong move. They're sacrificing a bit of like the long-term prospect to getting a guy right now, which means they're going for like the playoff experience, which I also think they need with Hayward and Gobert and Favors and all that. That's a team that needs to taste the postseason for sure.
Yeah, I mean, lest we forget, they were what, like a game away from it this year? And we all were really hoping that they were going to get in and maybe be able to give the Warriors a fun first round. And it just didn't quite happen because they had like an overtime loss at home. They had a couple of really tough losses. But yeah, they were right there this year. So I'd expect them to be right there next year too, possibly get in.
So as we're recording this, a lot of reactions are coming out on Twitter. There are a couple of statements. This is regarding the Derrick Rose trade specifically. Here's a statement from Bulls owner Jerry Reinsdorf. He says, "Knowing Derrick as I do makes this trade a hard one. Everyone knows him as the local kid who became MVP for his hometown team, but not everyone got to know him like I did. While he's a terrific basketball player, he's an even better person with a tremendous heart. I wish him the best of health for the remainder of his career, and I want to personally thank him for everything that he did on the court and the community during his time with the Chicago Bulls." That fits pretty well together with what Casey Johnson, the Chicago's beat writer for the Chicago Tribune, told me last week. I had him on my Bulls podcast that I run with a guy named Mark Karansoulis. It's called Dennis Podman, and we had Casey on here. We recorded on Friday, and he was talking about just how good of a guy Derek was, like just sitting there talking about life and basketball and whatever. He was just always such accommodating, and this is really the same impression I've gotten of Rose, is that he was a good guy, worked hard, and it's just, he got the injuries, and then it was more or less over, and that's just so unfortunate.
You think he's an MVP of the league, and I'm just like replaying in my mind those ridiculous like two-footed dunks that he had, you know, back when he was peak athleticism Rose, man.
Oh, he was really good that year. A lot of people wanted Dwight to win the MVP, and I sort of understand why. because he was really effective. But Derek was the heart and soul of Chicago's entire offense. They had like nothing alongside him. Boozer had to be set up. Joakim had to be set up. Even Lou Aldang had to be set up. Like if you remove Rose from that equation, the Bulls still have a top defense, but their offense would probably have been amongst the five worst in the entire league. And that would not have given a 62-win season at all. He did everything humanly possible to lift Chicago's offense that year, while even improving as a defender and as a shooter. I mean, he increased the volume of his three-point shots and at the same time increased his overall efficiency, which is pretty good coming from a guy who had only knocked down 32 three-pointers in the first 2 years of his career combined. So he was about to become something even better than, you know, the initial MVP season. Like when he returned the year after, there was a game in Los Angeles against the Clippers, and I remember this vividly because I have the game here at home and I've seen it a few times. He was toying with Chris frickin' Paul. Like he was toying with him. It wasn't even funny. He completely had his way with Chris Paul. He was beginning to have that LeBron sense of knowing how to control the tempo of the game, knowing how to control every aspect of what was happening offensively. And he was sort of like digging into that a little bit. And then he started getting nagging injuries and then the ACL in the playoffs. But it leaves me with so many questions in regards to what could he have been had it not been for those injuries. I think that he could have been even better than Russell Westbrook is right now.
Wow. Yeah, there's a definite argument to be made for that. He had all the explosiveness, all the speed. Man.
Yeah, you don't have any words either. This is pretty wild, and at the same time, like regarding that whole team from back then, Joakim Noah now, with the acquisition of Robin Lopez, yeah, he's not coming back. He's not coming back at all.
Yeah, and I think we kind of thought that would be the case, but yeah, now it seems quite certain. It's going to be a weird year in Chicago, man. It's going to be very different.
It's going to be a whole new Bulls squad. Like, here's the thing. Joakim is from New York. He could go there in free agency.
That's interesting.
That could be a little bit of fun subplot there. And just imagine if he returns a little bit to form and Derek finds his legs and those two just rediscover a little bit of that magic that they had in Chicago. That would be fun for Knicks fans. I know they were probably thinking, wait, what? Like, Derek isn't what we need right now, but you could, I mean, now he's playing alongside Carmelo Anthony, so he won't have to be like the only guy to create. I don't know. I'm kind of liking the Rose-Melo pairing a little bit.
Yes, like I had not even considered that. That's how much I'm just thinking Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes, that could be fun. Like, I hope it is. I hope it's not like when the Lakers brought Steve Nash on and everybody's like, this is going to be awesome. And then it was not awesome. But yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like Rose, Mello, Porzingis.
Oh, Porzingis, that's right. Because Rose actually likes playing with stretch fours. He really likes it. And here he has like one hell of a stretch four.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's look at Jeff Teague going to Indiana. That one I like too. Mm-hmm. No, with all respect to George Hill, Jeff Teague is just a better ball player. He's a better scorer, better facilitator, probably a little bit worse defensively, I want to say.
Yeah.
But he's an all-star caliber player. And next to Paul George, you finally have that second scorer that you can rely on, which also eases the second year for Miles Turner, because he's expected to do a lot for him in his second season. Now getting a point guard in there who can take over the scoring load as well as give you good looks. Like now you have the ability to set up Miles Turner a lot while he can play off of both Paul George and Jeff Teague. I'm actually digging that for Indiana.
This is kind of awesome. Like, I like when we get a little bit of a shakeup. You know, it's been a while. Yeah, I think it's going to work out for everybody. I mean, we'll see what number 12 turns into, but yeah, it's a pretty good trade all the way around.
So now we all only need the Chris Paul and Blake Griffin for Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka trade to go down, as we talked about like during one of our opening podcasts. Then we're all good. Then the league has been shook up.
It really is. Like, I don't want to say it's too bad because the Western Conference Finals was fantastic, but it's almost too bad that the Thunder looked so good. Because, yeah, we could have had even more shake up with KD, and then your trade that you dreamed up in the Dream Factory. Yeah.
Oh, I have so many of those. I have way too many. I think I have Bill Simmons syndrome. Just coming up with way too many trades. I spend so many times with the trade checker on Real GM and then the trade machine on ESPN. I spend way too much time with that. No, but I actually agree. I do think it's good for the league to get those changes once in a while, just to get some different looks and teams trying something new, not getting complacent. I dig that, but man, I mean... Last time the Bulls and Knicks pulled a deal, right? That more or less fetched them Joakim Noah. Remember the Yeti Curry trade back in the day? Mm-hmm. That was just a gift that kept on giving. It's funny how often those teams have traded. Now that I think about it, they also made a trade for Larry Hughes after that. So there's been like a lot of Bulls-Knicks trade activity in the last decade. It's where Bulls players go afterwards. Like Jamal Crawford went there. He was traded. Eddie Curry went there. Jalen Rose just took a tour to Detroit. Oh, sorry, to Toronto first, and then he ended up there. It's kind of funny. And now Rose, and maybe even Joakim Noah. Like that's where Chicago apparently sends their guys when they can't use them anymore.
It's like Spurs players usually end up with the Mavericks one way or another. Usually we don't trade though; they just sign them. This Cuban just loves to have experts, I'm pretty sure.
And vice versa with Michael Finley.
Yeah. Yep. We got Finn. So painful in 06 because he had just left them and then the Spurs lost to the Mavericks. That was awful. But the next year he got his championship, so it all worked out.
And yeah, Sarah, it's kind of weird seeing trades being made like on the night before the draft. It's actually pretty common, but it's weird to me because it makes more sense that it goes through the draft because you have so many rumors flying. I'm wondering if some teams do this to actually avoid getting into the, like the rumor mill during draft time, mm-hmm. so they can focus on the guys and like not be in the trade fodder machine.
Yeah, I can see that. Pretty clever, pretty shifty. Like, oh, while y'all are talking about the draft, we're just gonna do a three-team trade.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, right? I mean, mm-hmm. now New York also they didn't have a draft pick this year in the first round. That this sort of makes up for it a little bit. They get Rose, so now the rumor mill is probably gonna quiet down a little bit from their end because that's a 21, I believe, million-dollar investment in him for one last year. That's probably their main guy this summer in getting.
Gotta be.
Yeah. But this is an interesting evening. I know we're just checking Twitter all the time because with our lock, if we lock off Twitter, the next moment, you know, you're going to have a Kevin Love trade. You're going to have a lot of all-stars being moved. This is weird.
Where do you think Horford ends up now?
Oh, that's interesting because now they're going with Dennis Schroeder as their full-time point guard in Atlanta. So, and he's young.
Mm-hmm.
But they just invested in Paul Millsap last year. So, like, what do you do here?
Yeah, what is going on?
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? I see you put your thinking cap on. You're just that wheel is turning right now.
It is. It is. There's not a lot of power being generated, but the wheel is turning.
I think Atlanta lets him walk.
But Horford walk.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I think they're gonna trade Paul because how does this make sense in the long term? Like Jeff Teague, I love Dennis Schroeder, but Jeff Teague is he's significantly better. I know he wanted out though. That might have been an area of concern, but you're not gonna get better. If you want 48 games this year with Teague, you're not gonna win that next year. I don't think. With Schroeder. Right.
But how good was Millsap this year though? Like they're really gonna trade Millsap right now. They better have a plan.
Yeah. No, I agree. They really need one, and I could easily be mistaken here. They might actually re-sign Horford and then go with Paul and Al and Schroeder and see what they can do. But you also have to factor in the free agency of Kent Bazemore. Like,
right.
If he leaves, then what? Then you downgrade a little bit at point guard, and you lose your small forward, and Kyle Korver is gonna be like ancient next year. So where do you go from there? And Paul and I'm sorry, Al is 30.
It's going to be an interesting couple of years in Atlanta.
Yeah, it is.
Is like you said, they're kind of about where the Bulls were, but that you know you talked about. Well, we haven't broken through. I mean, they're they just got to the point where they were a contender. What, like 2 years ago, last year? So. It's weird to be talking about breaking it up already, but I mean they're significantly beneath the Cavs right now, right? Of course, who knows how long the Cavs stay together? So these are always the questions. But you know they got swept. What, 2 years in a row, or did they win one? They got swept both years, didn't they?
I think so. Now that you mentioned the Cavs, by the way. There's some news on that front as well. Not trading news, but Richard Jefferson has retracted his retirement.
What?
We just, you know, in the podcast we did just moments ago, we were talking about how this makes perfect sense for Jefferson to go out on a high note, but now he had to get greedy, Sarah. He's back. He's back for Cleveland next year. He was at the rally and he said, you know what, I'm coming back next year. That's like the best retirement ever.
Right? Are you messing with me? This really happened.
Yeah.
He said this at the rally.
Yeah.
Oh, like we said, it's not going to get better, RJ. I mean, if you can still play another year, play another year. But, I mean, as far as going out on a high note, I mean, sometimes I think that's a little overrated. Like, don't give up your career if you're not done.
Oh, that's true. But he was 35, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's not going to get any better than that. The fact that he got moved into the lineup and paid dividends and came back 3-1 and won the title. Yeah, it gets no better than that. Man, this is an insane day.
It really is. So right now we have Rose going to New York, Jeff Teague going to Indiana, George Hill going to Utah, Richard Jefferson staying in Cleveland. That's huge. and all the while we were podcasting. This just goes to show, Sarah, podcasting is a waste of time because we miss everything good. We were sitting there being all emotional about sports in general, and in the meanwhile, sports were too busy ignoring us and happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And people always tell you, you know, put down your phone, live in the moment, but see, we missed everything.
Yeah. And we thought we were clever. We picked up our microphones instead. And but that's definitely interesting, and I'm pretty sure Brian is satisfied as well, because with Jeff Teague going to Indiana, it means no move to Philadelphia, and that's
right.
That he didn't want that anyway, so that's good news for Brian.
Not to worry about that. I said, Brian, I don't think it's going to happen. Don't believe in it just yet. But he has so little faith in Brian Colangelo that he was just certain it was going to happen. Like, they were going to lose Noel. for Teague, who
yeah,
he has 1 year left, right? But I think I saw something about Indiana wants to work on an extension, like, right away.
I haven't seen that, but that's very believable.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, it would make a ton of sense. But yeah, Noel could still be moved. I mean, this. I just want to, like, let Brian remember that.
I'm sure he never stops thinking about it. So you don't have to worry.
All right. So this was kind of a incoherent podcast from our side, just because we're chatting Twitter all the time right now. We just don't want to miss anything else. But this was an interesting way of wrapping up one's Wednesday evening.
Definitely.
So, Sarah, last time around I said, well, I'll check you later, which coincidentally became just moments later. This time, and I mean that this in the best way imaginable, I hope it we're talking about a few days.
Yeah. Take a break. Now I'm, like, terrified because, you know, you lost Rose, and, like, I'm just sitting there waiting for Spurs news to break. Like, Manu declined his option today, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, that's
but true. I'm just waiting. I'm just, like, in a bunker, like, curled up. What's going to happen? Because now I'm a little nervous.
Oh, he's going to return.
It's a weird, eerie place to be in right now. But it's okay.
Are you at all concerned that he won't return?
I think Manu will be back, and people are saying that they believe he's leaning towards the return. Mm. I'm starting to get a little more worried about Tim, but I'm just going to believe that he's going to come back until I hear otherwise.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to go on.
I'm still on the Tim coming back train. I don't think he takes this loss lightly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know you've been on that since the last time when we first talked about it. So I'm going to believe you.
Yeah. You better be right. And then when it doesn't happen,
I'll hold you personally responsible.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to shoot me like some message on Twitter. You dirty Dane. God damn it. Why did you get my hopes up? I'm going to sue your ass off.
I can't imagine using the phrase "you dirty Dane." Is there like some insult that I could get? I'm going to check Hamlet. That's the only experience I have with anything Danish. Like,
well, you know what? There are plenty of things you can say about Danes. We all our fingers looks like sausages, and we're weird. So, yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't worry, you're not going to be lacking in insults when you do the research. But yeah, okay. It's definitely interesting. Just to getting back on a serious note, just before we wrap up, do you think Rose will regain more of his form than he did, like, in the later stages of last year in New York? And do you think, like, a change of scenery could get him back to, like, this all-star caliber player?
I think something was obviously definitely lost with all the injuries. But, like you said, as good as he looked towards the end of the year last year, I feel like he can continue on that path. I don't know how much better I can get from that, but I thought that was pretty darn good. Like, he was so good towards the end of the year that I thought he might end up staying in Chicago. So, yeah, I think he'll have a good year. I don't know about All-Star year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a change of scenery could help. Who knows, right? You know, it's weird that he's out of his hometown now, but a lot of times you hear people say sometimes it's good to not play at home. So less pressure, less people in your ear all the time. Yeah. You can kind of just focus on doing your thing. So, yeah, I look for him to have a pretty good year, and hopefully, yeah, pressure's off and he can just do his thing, and I have Carmelo next to him, like you said. It's kind of ease that a little bit. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I think you hit it right on the nail there, because I don't think the All-Star specifically scenario is going to play in. I don't know if I agree entirely with the fact that, you know, getting into a different city is going to be positive. I mean, I have heard the same things, and for some players, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rose really, really enjoyed playing in Chicago in front of his people. I think he found tremendous joy in that. I think he found some calmness in that. And I think that speaks to his character, because I don't think he's the type of guy who gets himself all hyped up when going back home. Like Dwayne Wade, for example, also a Chicagoan. Like early on in his career, he had so many difficulties, as you alluded to, when he came to Chicago to play. He really played poorly in Chicago for a long while. But Rose never really had that problem. So for him, I don't think it's a concern at all. But he has played well in the Garden as well. Like I was actually in Madison Square Garden to watch him pre-ACL injury, where he looked absolutely amazing and won the game for the Bulls by just taking over in the fourth quarter and pulling so many moves out of his ass, you wouldn't believe it was humanly possible. So I think Knicks fans are at least going to get a very engaged player who's going to try his damnedest time and time again. And for that alone, I think New York fans are going to like him. Mm-hmm. If they have some preconceived notion that he's going to be injured all the time, that's fair to criticize, you know, the move if that happens. But in terms of what he can do out there, in you know, in regards to effort, I don't think they're going to be disappointed.
Definitely. And I would agree with what you said about he did seem like he was happy to be in Chicago and that he was proud of that. So and it's not like there isn't pressure in New York, but like you said, he's not really a guy that seems to be concerned about pressure or to be adversely affected by that. So,
yeah.
But it might just be good, you know, I don't know if he has, you know, it's like some bad memories just to get a clean slate. And like you said, hopefully he can avoid being injured from here on out and just have a nice little second life to his career here.
Yeah, definitely. Like that I understand, like the fact that you associate Chicago with injuries. I completely get that. Not just for him, but it seems like everyone is getting injured in Chicago. Like, watch out, Robin Lopez, apparently. So, I mean, yeah. So I that one I get, but we'll see. It's definitely an interesting shakeup, both for the Bulls and the Knicks, but also for Atlanta, for Indiana, for Utah. This was a pretty Rose heavy podcast, but let's just remind people that's because Brian Toporek, he demanded it to be, and you don't mess with the host, right?
That's right. No, he needs to be telling us how his wife is doing right now.
That's true. Brian's wife, Alex, is a huge Derrick Rose fan, loves him in Chicago, and we've actually been trying to get on a podcast for a while. And I do believe that Brian told us at one point that she would be devastated if Rose was traded. So let's hope she's all right. And to Brian and Alex, get on the podcast real soon so we can talk it out and we can heal together. All right, that wraps it up for this special trade edition. That was very incoherent from the NBA podcast. Sarah, my apologies. I was completely blown away by this trade, so I didn't make a hell of a lot of sense. So I'm glad you could step in, and I'll talk to you soon.
I didn't make much more sense either, but hey, at least we did make sense together.
That's always something.
All right. Take care.